Japan has officially slipped back into recession.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The Japanese government reported today its economy shrank by an annual rate of 3.7% in the first 3 months of the year. And while aftermath of the recent earthquake and tsunami makes up less than a month of the quarter, the natural disasters are playing a huge role in the contraction. The BBC's Roland Burke is with us from Tokyo with the latest this morning. Hi, Roland.
Hi, Steve.
Obviously, the earthquake wreaked a lot of havoc on the country, but it's been in recession three times now in the past decade. How was the economy doing without the disaster?
Well, it was actually clawing back. It was getting better. But the earthquake and the tsunami destroyed factories. It snapped supply chains. It crippled production in the country. It made consumers, even in places that weren't affected, cut back because they were so shocked by the catastrophe. And in fact, consumer spending fell in March at its steepest rate on record. So it's all added up to Japan having two quarters of declining economy and going back into recession.
Roland, does the Japanese government have the wherewithal to pull itself out of recession? I mean, it's already poured so much money into the economy anyway, right?
Well, certainly it's going to cost a lot to rebuild in the Northeast. That's money that has to be spent. As you say, Japan does already have a massive public debt, but that spending's going to have to happen. That should help the economy to recover towards the end of the year. The problem is going to be over the next few months, because the disaster at the Fukushima nuclear plant means there's likely to be electricity shortages over the summer, and that, of course, could hamper production too.
All right, the BBC's Roland Burke joining us from Tokyo. Roland, thanks.
Thanks very much.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mostly higher at the moment. Japanese shares, the exception today, falling 0.4% on the recession news. Dominique Strauss-Kahn has resigned as head of the International Monetary Fund, saying he'll fight attempted rape charges in New York. No successor's been named, but the frontrunner is reportedly the French finance minister, Christine Lagarde. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tacked on 80 points to close at 12,560. In Australia, the tobacco industry is fuming over new proposed rules that would force them to use generic packaging for their cigarette brands. Well, now the industry's threatening to slash the price of cigarettes to make up for any lost demand. From Sydney, reporter Stuart Cohen has more.
The new law will require all cigarettes to be packaged in the same olive drab colored box, something research has found makes cigarettes unappealing. Gone will be some of the more iconic images companies have relied on to market their products. Instead, most of the pack will carry highly graphic images of diseases caused by smoking. The brand name will be reduced to a small generic font, with nothing to distinguish one brand from another. David Crowe, CEO of British American Tobacco, Australia's biggest cigarette company, has a warning for the government.
And we will obviously focus on pricing, given it's the only thing really left to focus and differentiate brands. More people will smoke. We all know things get cheaper, people buy more, and more kids will smoke. And that is obviously completely opposite to what the government intends.
The industry is also threatening to sue over not being able to use their long-established logos. Australia's health minister says the government is ready to fight. In Sydney, I'm Stuart Cohen for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896, AllianzUSA.com. And by Constant Contact, celebrating the success of small businesses throughout Small Business Week. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
There was a deadline today for natural gas drillers in Pennsylvania's Marcellus Shale region. At the request of state regulators, drillers agreed to find safer ways to dispose of their tainted wastewater. That's something they'd resisted for a long time. From the Sustainability Desk, Marketplace's Sarah Gardner reports.
Drilling for natural gas creates a lot of wastewater, and it's full of bromides, salts, in other words. In western Pennsylvania, a lot of the wastewater went to sewage treatment plants that couldn't purify the stuff. Then those plants discharged it into rivers. rivers used for drinking water.
The bromides were reacting with the chlorine in the water treatment process to form a new substance that is carcinogenic.
Environmental advocate Jan Jarrett says for years industry insisted the discharges were safe, but this discovery helped change their tune. Matt Pizzarella is with Range Resources, one of the biggest drillers in the Marcellus Shale. His company lobbied other drillers to stop the practice.
If people don't trust this industry to do the right things, then a number of things will happen. Number one, the regulations will become more strict.
Number two, says Pizzarella, drillers won't get access to gas on private property.
We can only drill for natural gas wells if people choose to enter into agreements with us to allow us to develop their natural gas.
Pizzarella says other industries like coal are also to blame for high bromide levels in Pennsylvania rivers, but intensifying media scrutiny means gas drillers can't afford to play defense all the time. Jan Jarrett says the drillers agreed voluntarily to either recycle their wastewater or send it to deep disposal wells. So Jarrett's motto? Trust but verify.
We are going to be independently pulling records and checking to see whether or not that indeed has happened.
Last week, the Environmental Protection Agency went one step further. It wants to know how and where the biggest drillers will dispose of their wastewater from now on. But for drillers, voluntary is one thing, federal directives are another. An industry spokeswoman said the EPA was overstepping its authority. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And finally, much has been made over the past few years about President Obama's place of birth. Well, now the Obama reelection campaign is firing back with a gift for donors of $25 or more. It's a T-shirt featuring a picture of the president and the words "Made in the USA" in bold print right underneath. On the back, the long-form Hawaiian birth certificate the White House released just a few weeks ago. We've got a picture of the shirts and the mugs that go along with it, too, at our website, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The government learns a lot from natural disasters. It sets up offices to monitor hurricanes and earthquakes, for instance. So what'd they learn from our most recent financial disaster?
Here's the hazardous forecast for the mortgage market. For tomorrow, there is a slight risk of increased foreclosures and a possible housing bubble.
I'm Kai Rizdal, monitoring our financial health. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.